assist I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. You know, after yesterday's fairly aggressive hike, you know, physically I'm fine. I'm fine today. But mental fatigue has been tremendous. And why, I don't know. But it's been a problem. However, there's something I really want to share. I'd love to be able to share this with my kids. Because I had a dialogue, and dialogue was on 1 Corinthians 8 today, a few verses into it. But so to have context, we started reading from the beginning. And, you know, because 1 Corinthians 8 starts, well, the first three verses. This is ESV. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. You know, and I've heard that for years, and it's kind of like there seems to be a simplistic understanding, but it didn't seem right. I wonder if there's something deeper in there. And oh yeah, wow, you know, and see, the magnificence and the consistency of Scripture was made very relevant today. The LSV helped a little bit. And concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone thinks to know anything, he has not yet known anything according to as it's required to know. And if anyone loves God, he has been known by him. You think, oh, that helps a lot. Not really. But what I did is I looked at a few of the words. And then I was absolutely blown away, because we see have known, have knowledge, to know, and so forth. And you think, well, it's all based on the same word, and it's not. And you know, this was you know, it's reminiscent of, you know, when I was looking up the idea of contend and contentious, because it seemed like one was built on the other. No, they're not. A completely different context. Same thing here. And this just, and again, it shows a marvelous consistency, because there are basically two words used. One word is in two forms. One word is eido. This is the idea, and I have the Thayer definition here. To see, to perceive. Let me take care of this, since my wife doesn't want to hear from me. Eido, to see, to perceive with the eyes, to perceive with any of the senses, you know, and so forth. To pay attention, to observe, to inspect, to examine, to know. You know, so it's kind of like I can observe, well, you know, to ascertain and things of that nature. I can observe something. So if you look at that in context, and concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we have known. In other words, we have observed, we have seen this, and so forth. Then if anyone thinks to know anything, if they have that sense, they perceive that they know something, or that they think they perceive something. So I should say it correctly that way. That's where we see this word eido. But that's the only time the word eido is used. In the other case, it's gnosis or gnosko. Gnosko is basically the verb, and gnosis is the noun. So, and of course, what are those? You know, gnosis, the knowledge signifying general intelligence, understanding, the general knowledge of Christian religion, deeper, more perfect, enlarged knowledge of the religion, such as belongs to more advanced, especially the things lawful and unlawful for Christians, moral wisdom, such as seen in right living. That's the Thayer definition of gnosis. But then the other thing is gnosko. which is to learn, to know. Again, this is the verb. One is a noun. This is the verb. To learn, to know, to come to know, to get knowledge of, to perceive, to feel, to become known. To know, to understand, to perceive, to have knowledge of, to understand, to know. Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. And to become acquainted with, to know. That's a big deal. Why? So, looking at the passage again, and I put in parentheses the Greek or for the LSV. So looking at it again, and concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we have known, Ido, that we all have knowledge, gnosis, and knowledge, gnosis, puffs up, but love builds up. So I have a knowledge of something. I really know it. I understand it. But that only puffs me up because I think I know this stuff. But then, if anyone thinks to know, Ido, anything, he is not yet known, gnosko, anything, according as is required to know, gnosko. So we think we know, we think we have this we think we can see anything, but we have not got to the point that we know, we have an understanding of what's required to understand. And I would suggest this would be consistent with the idea of the constantly growing in knowledge of Christ, because we're not there. You know, and every time we find something new, it's wonderful, as I found today. But there's more required to know. And if I think, I perceive, or I see anything, I'm incomplete. And that's where it's constant. But then there's the other thing that's very important, and if anyone loves God, this one has been known, gnosko, by him. And so, you know, when we look at that, especially in like the ESV, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. So you think, oh, okay, well, I love God, and therefore he loves me, kind of, you know, he knows me, whatnot. It's a whole lot deeper than that. Why is that? Because the relationship between God and his elect is mirrored in the relationship of the husband and the wife. You may have heard somebody say this before. Because where do you see gnosko? Well, let's turn to a book in the Old Testament. Genesis 4, and the man knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man by Yahweh. The man knew his wife, gnosko. And, you know, is this a minor issue? No, it's a really big deal. Because if anyone loves God, this one has been known, gnosko, by him. The relationship between a husband and a wife is because the husband knows, gnosko, his wife. And that's seen in sexual intercourse, because it gives you that intimate bond. And it's an analogy. It's not that the God is having sex with his elect, but he's having intimacy with his elect. There is a really tight knowledge. So God doesn't look at his elect as just another person. He looks at his elect as the bride of Christ, as a husband looks at his bride and says, you know, there's a whole bunch of women all over the world, but this one's mine. In the case of the relationship with God and his elect, he has a large number. For us mere men, we have one. You know, and that one right there is mine. And, oh, do I love her. I still do, very much so. But anyway, to see this, and I you know, again, if anyone thinks to know he thinks to know anything, he's not yet known anything according to his required to known. I would suggest it's kind of like, still haven't gotten there, but we're it's that constant one step at a time and whatnot. And I would suggest I made a delightful step today. And, you know, I may not explain this clearly, but, I can point you to the words. And, I have it listed here. But, you know, so, and concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we have known, Ido, that we all have knowledge, gnosis, and knowledge, gnosis, puffs up, but love builds up. I know something that you don't, so I am more important than you. No, that's, we don't go there. I have a relationship with you. I want to love. That is my focus. Not to say, hey, I'm important because I can tell you the difference between Ido and Gnosko. Wow, aren't I special? No. No. But because I can do this, I need to do that because it's part of the proclaim. But anyone thinks to know Ido anything. In other words, oh, I see this and whatnot. And it's kind of like, he has not yet known Gnosko anything according to as it is required to know Gnosko. So I'm not there yet. And if anyone loves God, this verse 3 is beautiful. If anyone loves God, this one has been known Gnosko by him. If anyone loves God, the reason you love God, we love God because he first loved us. If you love God because you're known by him, Gnosko, the same relationship between a husband and a wife. It's kind of like, wow. Again, it shows that idea of consistency because as I look through scripture and look to see how the relationship between a husband and wife is the mirror of the relationship between the Lord and the elect, over and over and over you see that, and you see it here. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. This Bible thing is a really big deal, and it's kind of like, wow, you know? Somebody used to say, especially to his wife and kids, it's a love letter from God. Oh, that would be me. I don't think I first one to say that, but it really is. It's a love letter. It's a love letter because he knows Gnosko, his elect. You know, it's this one has been known by him, known by God himself, known by Christ. And to be, you are indeed, if you love him, you're the bride of Christ, you're the elect. And it's kind of like, this is a big deal. You know, a really big deal. This was fantastic. This was really fantastic. And I sure wish I could share this with my family. My lady, my wife. I have indeed Gnosko you in the sense of the sexual intercourse. Yes, consider we have 9 kids. Yes. Beyond question, because we have the miscarry thing. But so I say, we have 9 kids walking the earth, and I'll make the claim: we've had sex 10 times, at least 10 times. Rest of the numbers conjecture, because obviously 9 times for the kids, and that first the wedding night, where we became one. And may I point out, again, and I will contend this is consistent with Scripture, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. You're my wife. And I love you. And I want you back.